Let's face it, people have different sleep needs. While you love your partner, sleeping next to them might not always be the most comfortable. Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Maybe you prefer a firmer mattress and your partner needs something softer. Because of the individualized comfort that you get from Sleep Number Smart Beds, you and your partner will sleep better together. All Sleep Number Smart Beds feature cooling, pressure-relieving comfort layers for soothing sleep throughout the night. And their temperature balancing bedding is designed to move heat and moisture away when you're hot. When you're cool, they hold their energy to help warm you. The smart beds even automatically respond and adjust to your movements, so you sleep comfortably all night long. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com. /awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Oh, hi. Can I have a
medium latte?
We're just recording a podcast in the car right now.
Oh.
Do you listen to Breaking Beauty Podcast?
You can find it on iTunes.
What do you guys talk about it on there?
We're talking about wearing SPF every day today with Olay.
This one
Breaking
is...
Beauty Podcast.
Welcome to The Glowdown by Breaking Beauty.
Our mid-month episode featuring breaking beauty news, what products we're loving
and not so much,
plus insider celebrity hair and makeup tips.
And the trends that are blowing up our DMs, we've got the hot takes coming right up.
Hi, Carlene.
Hey, Jill.
So we're back in The Glowdown.
Yes, we are. And it's a special edition.
Well, you know how so many of our listeners tell us that they listen whenever they're commuting?
Yeah, we love that. Helping make your drives less boring.
Yeah.
1 mile at a time.
Shout out to all you guys that are stuck in traffic right this second.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like we're commuting along with you today because we've taken our show on the road.
Yeah, we have. In partnership with our friends at Olay, we are bringing you our first ever ride along.
I love it. It was a bright and sunny day in Toronto recently, and we jumped in the car.
Yeah.
And it was you and
car.
I. Carlene was driving.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like that show, Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee, except we are beauty editors in cars with scientists.
Yeah, exactly.
And our special guest was riding in the front seat, shotgun. It was Dr. Froke Neuser. She's the principal scientist with Olay, and she is a skincare authority who helped us get to the bottom of a lot of questions we had about wearing SPF every single day. And you and I have been beauty editors for like 30 years combined.
Yeah.
And I still have questions.
Yeah.
About SPF.
I know. Everybody does. She basically is a celebrity in her own right. She was on her way to the Dr. Oz show. Okay. So she's not just a scientist. She's, you know, she's pretty cool. SPF daily usage. I mean, I have been wearing it every day since I was in my late 20s.
Yeah.
And I think that's the reason why I'm 42 and I don't have ton of wrinkles. Yep. Oops, bleeping that out.
Yeah. But it's true. It's the number one preventative thing you can do to make your skin look as young as possible. If that's what you want to do, if you, you know, to each their own, but as beauty editors, we know the proof is there. You wear SPF every day, you're going to look younger.
Yeah. The biggest, you know, the biggest mistake you could make is waiting for it to happen and then trying to work backwards, right?
You can still try. They have products for that too. But what we really wanted to get to the bottom of is just how people can want to wear SPF every single day because it in the past formulations have maybe not played so nice with makeup or they have just been a little bit heavier. If you have oily skin, you're afraid you're going to break out. So we wanted to talk to her about how they're improving the textures.
Exactly. Well, their latest launch this spring was Olay Whips, which is not an individual product. It's actually a technology, and it refers to this light as air texture that they've come out with.
With SPF 25.
Exactly. So they have it in a few of their hero products, Regenerist and Total Effects, which I personally really like.
And the Luminous line.
Yeah. And so they have regular versions and those with SPF. So we were like, you know what? Jump in my car. Let's chat about this. And let's also talk about some of the other questions that I have and we hear all the time. Like, how am I supposed to reapply my daily SPF, yeah, like over top of my makeup midday, yeah, you know?
Or is that incidental exposure, mm-hmm, that you get every day driving your car?
Yeah.
Is that more damaging than going to the beach?
And is it really needed mid-January when it's overcast?
Touche.
Yeah.
Touche. So we are very happy to have Breaking Beauty's first ride-along guest, mm-hmm, hitting the road with Dr. Froke Neuser coming up next.
So excited. Ladies.
Oh, here we go.
Oh my God.
Ta-da.
Here we go. So let's keep an eye out. Where are we going here?
455.
So it's got to be.
Can I turn right on red here? Sure.
There's a cop right there. So we'll see. We'll soon find out. Dr. Neuser, thank you for joining us. Right now we're sitting in this car. We've got the moonroof, and then there's like obviously the windows and the windshield. Like, what kind of damage are we getting right now? Yeah. So you ladies probably know, but I'm just going to mention it. There are different types of UV rays, right? So we have UVA, B, and C. The C is the stuff that gets filtered out by the ozone layer. So we only really need to deal with UVA and UVB down here.
Down here on Earth.
Down here on Earth, as it were. And 95% of the UV that hits us right now in this car is actually UVA. And only 5% is UVB. B for burning.
Mm-hmm.
And we measure with the SPF how much we can protect you from this burning. And the B is also the stuff that actually gets filtered out by glass. So you're very rarely, if ever, going to have a sunburn in the car unless you open the windows and hang out your arm.
Right.
Because the UVB gets filtered out. But remember, 95% of the UV is A, and right, that doesn't get filtered, at least not completely, by glass. So most of that UVA, mm-hmm, is actually hitting us. Mm-hmm. And A is the UV radiation that is responsible for a lot of the sort of structural damage inside your skin, because right, it can actually penetrate deeper.
That's what's responsible for this sunspot.
Oh,
right?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yes, indeed. So really, we should have this moonroof totally closed, as yeah, being good beauty editors.
Or we're wearing all our SPF.
Yeah, yeah. So what's your thoughts on like tinting windows?
Yeah,
cars?
Should I get it kitted out, the car?
Well, I mean, it depends a bit on how much time do you spend in your car. If you do this every day, then I would say, yes, tinted windows might well be worth the investment.
Does it actually filter it out, though? Filter out UVA?
It depends. I think it has to be particular, you know, special glass. Okay. And there are regulations as well as to what it allowed to, and how tinted it can be, so it's still safe.
You can, I want it totally tinted so no one can see, like celebrity style.
Well, my mom had skin cancer when I was younger, and so she did have like a doctor's note to get tinted windows, but it's like mostly illegal where I grew up.
Really?
In Prince Edward Island. Yeah, so she would always get pulled over by the cops for having too dark a tint on the windows. And so eventually, like in the next car that she got, she was just like, it's not worth it.
Yeah.
She's like, she just wears like SPF, like UPF clothing or whatever. And she had like her doctor's note in her glove compartment at all times, because whenever she would get pulled over by the RCMP, she'd be like, it's prescribed.
When
it's prescribed.
She rolled down the window, they're yeah, like, oops, keep it moving.
Exactly. But yeah. And have you seen those, the famous, infamous pictures of the truck driver? You know, there's one from Australia.
Yes.
And because he sits on the other side in the car, his right hand, the right hand side of his face is totally burned and, not burned, but wrinkled, really
yeah,
old. The left hand side looks like 20 years younger.
Is
and then
picture from Australia?
Well, they have an Australian one and an American one, because it's the other way around in the
US.
Because
hilarious.
You said, so you can really prove
I've seen the US one. I've never seen the Australian one.
Yes, there's an Australian one as well. So it is really linked. But, you know, so if you're a truck driver,
yeah,
you have to pay special attention if you spend
20 minutes in your car every day, it's maybe not quite as dramatic. Right. Yeah, so what do you think is like two, or, you know, you're getting UVA, so you're commuting. What kind of studies or data do you have to illustrate how that cumulative exposure can cause aging or sunspots?
Yeah, so I mean, so there's a lot of data that actually says it is the small amount every day, right? Because it is, you know, it's 365 days a year. Mm-hmm. For however long you live, and it's, people have become really good about the 2-week beach holiday.
Right.
Everybody's slathering on the sunscreen, mm-hmm. but people don't think about this everyday situation. So is it, you know, a total disaster if one day you forget your SPF?
Yeah.
No, it's not. But yeah. but if it becomes a habit and it's like, oh, and you debate with yourself every day, should I wear it today or not? I think that's where the slippery slope starts. It's almost yeah. like it shouldn't be. Shouldn't even be a consideration. You should just wear it every morning, yeah. like you brush your teeth every morning. Right?
And so what's stopping women?
Yeah, good question. So it's two, not just I think, we know that there's two main things. Mm-hmm. One is that people say, I don't believe I really need it every day. Mm-hmm. Right? And it's like, I live in Toronto, and in the winter it's very cloudy, and this, you know, the sun's only out for like 7 hours a day. Mm-hmm. And my office doesn't have much window. So
and it's freezing cold.
And
out,
it's freezing cold. So yeah,
so you're like, oh, I just need that vitamin D, like that little hint.
Exactly. So the one big thing is people don't think they really need it, or it doesn't make that much of a difference. And then number two, the people that overcome that hump, if you will, mm-hmm. for them, it's like, well, I don't like a lot of these yeah. sunscreen products. They're like, I wear makeup and this doesn't work with my makeup and it makes me all shiny and there's this white residue and it, you know, they just don't like it.
Yeah.
So those are the two big ones that we really see.
Yeah. Why is it so tricky to make a good SPF that goes on so smoothly and isn't chalky or yeah, makes you break out?
And I know, like, in our Facebook chat group for our podcast,
yeah,
number one question yeah. people still ask, what's a good SPF? What can I use?
That's not gonna make me break out.
Yeah, or pill under my makeup.
Yeah, so the thing is that, you know, UV filters, right? You need UV filters to have any kind of UV protection. And those UV filters are not sort of lovely substances that you would normally put into your face cream if you didn't need it.
You mean like texture-wise? They're not
yes,
lovely?
Texture-wise. So you have okay. your sort of organic or, you know, chemical sunscreens, and a lot of them are very oily just okay. by their very nature. Okay. So, you know, an SPF 30 sort of rule of thumb has about 30% of its ingredients are UV filters, and if those are fairly oily, then your product is going to be fairly oily and heavy and sticky
yeah.
unless you have some other magic going on in your lab to sort of hide that and overcome that.
Yeah, that sounds horrific.
If you go for the mineral sunscreens, right, they are, you know, they are sort of, you know, the zinc oxides, titanium dioxides, and they are white powders.
Yeah.
And, you know, now you're putting those into your, and again, you need quite a lot to get to that level of protection, so no surprise that there's going to be a level of white residue left over.
Yeah.
So that is just the, you know, it's if we didn't have to put these ingredients into our face creams, we mm-hmm. wouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the only way to protect against UV radiation, so we have to. And then there's obviously a lot of tricks our formulators are trying to overcome that feel, to put, you know, add other ingredients into the formulation to overcome that heaviness and that greasiness mm-hmm. or that white residue, so that doesn't become a stopper for women.
Yeah.
Are younger people more compliant? What about the demo of people that are actually wearing SPF every day?
Interestingly, it's the youngest age group that is the worst with daily mm-hmm. SPF mm-hmm. usage. It actually, literally with every decade, the percentage of women that use it every day mm-hmm. increases.
Okay.
So I feel it's it really connects to a lot of the research we've done, that women only really start worrying about it when they see the results right. on their face, mm-hmm. when those sunspots pop up.
When the freckle turns into a blotch, they're like, yes. oh dear.
And when they really notice how that pigmentation is worse in the summer right. and then never quite goes back to where it was in the winter.
Yes.
So when they really notice it for themselves, that's when I feel they become more
Mayday.
Compliant. Yes, yeah. So yeah, so that youngest group, 18 to 25, has the lowest compliance, and then it goes up from there.
Dermatologists as well, they always recommend to wear sunscreen every day. But they also say that because UVA and UVB filters only last for 2 to 3 hours, that you should be reapplying throughout the day. And I'm like, how am I supposed to put my Olay whip on top of my makeup?
like during lunch? How does that work? Oh,
that is one of my favorite topics. SPF reapplication. Yes. So taking a little step back. So where this all comes from is sunscreens are FDA regulated products. They are what we call over-the-counter drugs. So you're only allowed to use certain ingredients in as active UV filters, and you have to label your products in a very certain way.
Okay.
And the FDA does not make a difference between the sunscreen for the beach and the daily moisturizer with SPF. So they're always going for the worst case scenario, which is the beach.
Right.
And on the beach, you should reapply every 2 to 3 hours because you're rolling in the sand, you're going into the water, you're sweating, you're rubbing yourself, you're doing all sorts of things. And so physically, you're kind of removing that layer of UV filters over time. Now, in the situation where you're putting it on in the morning, you're driving to the office, you're not doing anything strenuous, you're not washing your face, you're not going for a lunchtime, you know, gym session, we actually know, because we've done the studies, that your SPF and your UV filters, they're still there in the evening.
Okay.
They don't expire after just 2 or 3 hours. There's this chemical reaction going on that's kind of a recycling. So they pick up the energy from the UV rays, and they turn it into heat and then let go of the heat. And then they're ready again to take on the energy, turn it into heat. So it's not that the UV filters have no power anymore after 2 to 3 hours. The whole reapplication goes back to the assumption that you've physically removed the stuff by being right on the beach.
Okay. Some people kind of say the foundation with SPF is like not really doing that much.
Yeah, so a foundation with SPF 30 in theory provides the same protection, but you also have to use the same amount of the foundation that you right would have to with your moisturizer, which is 2 milligrams per square centimeter, right, which is roughly speaking a gram of the product on your whole face. Now, nobody uses a gram of foundation on their face.
What would that, what are we talking about, like a tablespoon? Or
probably not quite that much, but it depends a bit. If it's a liquid foundation, it might get to the point where it's like, you know, more than a teaspoon. So it's like a lot of product.
Well, like if I think about when I put on my foundation, like a pump, it's like a dime amount, dime size.
Yeah.
That's just not enough.
A teaspoon would be like ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's why sort of in theory, yes, it does something, but in practice, nobody uses enough because the products are kind of not designed for that. And then the whole point with, oh, well, I'm using a 30 in my moisturizer and a 30 in my foundation, now I have a 60. Unfortunately not. It's not additive. The highest number is what you get. If you use a 30 and a 15, you still only have a 30.
Got it.
If you use a 15 and a 15, you still only have a 15.
Okay, right. So break time. We're going to go through the drive-thru right now.
Oh, hi. Can I have
a medium latte?
A medium latte?
Medium latte?
That's it?
Nothing.
I'm going to get a coconut milk latte.
Coconut milk latte?
Yeah.
And I'm going to get a English breakfast tea with milk, please. Thank you very much.
How's your day going?
Great. How about you? We're just recording a podcast in the car right now.
Oh.
Do you listen to Breaking Beauty Podcast?
I don't.
She does now.
You should if you like beauty.
Is it? I do, actually.
Yeah?
Like,
you can find it on iTunes.
What do you guys like talk about on there?
We're talking about wearing SPF every day today with Olay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You got to wear it every day for best protection. It's so true. Thanks very much. Bye.
This one is
Breaking Beauty Podcast. We've been talking about it a lot on the podcast. So many women are using acid peels, at-home acid peels, AHAs and BHAs right now. So tell us, do they need to take extra care in the sun? What do you think?
Yes, so, and there's a difference between alpha hydroxy acids, the AHAs, and then the BHAs. Mm-hmm. And there is quite a bit of published research that shows that AHAs do actually make your skin more sun sensitive. And
right.
If you think about the mechanism, it makes perfect sense, right? They sit on top of your skin, and they're almost there to dissolve a little bit the glue between your dead skin cells, so they can slough off, and you know your fresh, lovely, glowing-looking skin cells come through.
It's like people are addicted to that right now. You know, the instant gratification. It goes along with
the baby skin. They want the baby skin.
Yeah,
but that's what worries me, because I'm like, everybody's using it, but is everybody stepping up their SPF game?
And baby skin is a great analogy, because think about it as baby skin. So it's the fresh young skin, and you need to protect it. Now, in my opinion, it shouldn't really make a difference to your SPF usage, because if you're good, you're already using SPF every day.
Right.
But if you don't, then now here is another reason, as if you needed one, to really step it up. And you know, so a lot of the AHAs are used at night. Mm-hmm. So in the morning, you really have to use an SPF. I'm not sure you necessarily need to go a lot higher. I think SPF 15 and 30 for like us girls who live in a city are totally fine. Mm-hmm. But you really shouldn't skip.
We want to get into some of the innovation around Olay whips. I'm holding it here in my hand. So there's three different versions. I have the Olay Regenerous Whip. So it's an anti-aging product. This one is SPF 25.
I'm wearing it right now, by the way.
And how long did it take you to formulate as well?
Right, yes. Yeah. So whips, believe it or not, it was over 5 years all in to really come up with something that feels so light and still gives all the potency of, you know, the skincare that we want to give with Olay. And that was the challenge we set ourselves. So we wanted a new delivery system that helps to get all those good skincare ingredients quickly into the skin without having that feeling of there's something sitting on my skin left behind that a lot of women don't appreciate.
Was there a particular MO that this the right time to redevelop?
Yeah, I think, and in a way, some of it, and that, you know, I don't want to be a bore about this, but Olay Skin Advisor gives us so much real-time data that it's like, holy cow.
I can imagine it's so exciting for a scientist.
And obviously we had started that project before, but I think what surprised us a little was the scale of how many women actually say, I don't like the feel of today's moisturizers. And we were like, oh gosh, if we had known how many women have a problem with that, maybe we would have started this project a little earlier. But it's like 60% of women say, I don't want that feel.
Yeah.
And we were like, all right, we can do something about
challenge
it.
Challenge accepted.
Challenge accepted. And so that's really what was driving it. And I think also, I mean, skincare is getting more attention now than it did 10 years ago.
I agree.
Women are more engaged. They are more into their self-care. And so I think, you know, some of this was only became only apparent because so many people were talking more about
it's like
their
a
skincare,
conversation. What
they look. Yes,
yeah. And it's the top shelf, like where you're taking pictures of what you're proud of using and how it makes you feel.
Yeah, so that's how this came all about, and you know, and it's not a young old thing really. Mm-hmm. It's there are women across all age groups who don't like that heavy feel, and for them we developed this technology that really delivers all the good stuff into your skin, but leaves a very light feel on the skin. And now with the SPFs, it does that even though you have an SPF of 25 in there.
What one's your favorite?
I use the Luminous one.
Okay,
Luminous,
why do you SPF. Love that one?
Well, so I have, and of course this is a podcast, so you can't see me, which is good. I'm 47, and my skin looks okay. I don't have a lot of wrinkles. I think I have more problems with hyperpigmentation and so on and so forth, and Luminous is the line that we have that's developed for that, to even out pigmentation, to fade those sunspots and give you that glow, and that's really what I'm after.
Is it my imagination, or there is a difference in the texture and the feel of it on your skin even though they're all whip formulation?
Yes.
Right,
that's correct.
Okay, because I picked my favorite. I like Total Effects. I found it was quite different than the other one. Luminous was the most different from the other two, I thought. I thought it almost had like a dry touch finish, I want to say.
Yeah.
Where it sort of dried to like a satin or something, where the Total Effects, I thought, gave me the dewy feeling that I like. It just felt super hydrating. Not greasy or oily at all. But just like, I like that kind of.
Yeah. Well, that's why we have three of them, because everybody likes something slightly different. I mean, that's the other thing that you have to sort of come to grips with as a formulator, as a maker of skincare products. There's never going to be one product that everybody loves.
It's true.
It's very individual, things that people like and don't like, and it has sometimes to do with your skin type.
Right.
But sometimes it's just an individual preference, and so there will be people who vastly prefer the Regenerist over the Luminous, and even find it difficult to explain. No, you were very eloquent in explaining it. But yes, there are small differences.
How were you able to achieve this innovation? Why it took 5 years?
So it's actually that delivery system that I mentioned earlier. We call it Active Rush Technology because we like a snappy name for our technologies. Okay. But what it is, it's a polymer. It's a starch-based polymer. That's the main ingredient of this technology. And think about those little starch molecules. It's lots of little micro sponges.
Okay.
So as we're making the product, we are adding a lot of hydration and all the skincare actives. And as we bring them in contact with those micro sponges, they actually vastly expand in volume. They hold up to 1,000 times their own weight in hydration and actives, and that's how they sit in the jars. Now, as you put it on your skin, obviously the hydration is no good inside those sponges, so we needed to find a polymer that we can get to release all the good stuff very quickly upon contact with skin. And the polymer we chose does just that. So it gets activated, A, by your physical motion, but also by the tiny amount of salt that we all have on our skin just from, you know, transpiration. So you don't need to be super sweaty. It doesn't need that much salt. Just that movement and a little bit of salt will get those micro sponges to very quickly release, and the hydration and the actives penetrate very quickly into your skin. And then the micro sponges like stay behind on the skin surface and provide that satiny, velvety feel throughout the day.
What I thought was really interesting when you guys did the desk size and you came around months in advance.
Can I do because that? I'm just gonna crack the window a bit.
That's a good idea.
Need a little air.
You had said that you decided not to patent the technology.
Yes.
Because going through the patent process
revealed
how you did it, and you were worried about copycats. So obviously this is a huge deal.
Yes, and the other thing is, so we couldn't patent the ingredient itself. There, you know, you can sort of commercially purchase that ingredient, but it comes in lots of different forms. So we don't want to reveal which form we're using,
right?
Which exact type we're using. And then a lot of the 5 years, believe it or not, wasn't identifying this technology, but getting us ready to make the product in the factory. Because, you know, think about it, and you guys saw the demo, when you get this, you know, 1,000 times its weight in water and you get this expansion and you have all those micro sponges, it literally clogs up your pipes. So we had to totally change the way we make our skincare product for WIPs. So they're run on a different line because we have to take all of that into account, and we didn't want to give away how we do that.
Yeah. And you've been doing this for almost 20 years, right? Is there a lot of skincare espionage going on?
Ooh, I like it. 007. I don't want to say skincare espionage, but there have been examples of, you know, us and other people. Sometimes, you know, when you work on an idea and it's a very specific idea, and 6 months before you're ready to launch, someone else does exactly the same idea.
Does that bug you?
Yes. Especially if maybe they just jumped on the idea and they bring out something that sounds good, doesn't really work so well, but it kind of burns your idea because by the time you bring it out and you know it's better, people don't think it's going to work.
Yeah. So what do? Do you have to go to the gym and run on the treadmill for like an hour and just be like,
listen to Rage Against the Machine?
Yeah. Yeah, there might have to be some, you know, letting go of the negative feelings once in a while.
So where do you see SPF in 5 years? Any breakthroughs or trends that you're looking forward to or that you can reveal?
So I think there's still a lot to be done in terms of, you know, textures and really getting it right for the individual person. Mm-hmm. Because as we said, not everybody's looking for the same thing. Mm-hmm. So offering a broader variety of textures is definitely, I think, going to be big on SPF. The other thing I really believe in is personalization. Mm-hmm. So because, and you know, it comes a bit it comes a bit back to compliance. So if I tell you that you shouldn't smoke because it's not good for you, you would expect nobody smokes, but mm-hmm. some people still do.
Right.
So if I come to you and say, hey, I've analyzed your whatever, your genes, your biology, your, you know, you, and I know that you're 20% more susceptible to lung damage than anyone else from smoking, mm-hmm. I think that would make you more likely to stop smoking because yes. now I've made it personal.
That's a good
point. So same with SPF. If I can actually tell you, A, today's a UV index of whatever it is, B, you have, you know, if I look into your genes, you have that gene that means you're easier to sunburn than someone else. And altogether, I therefore recommend today use your WIPS SPF 25. I think that makes you more likely to do it.
And so what would that look like in the store or at home where you're having like some, you know, is it the smart mirror that's like, hello, good morning?
Yes, it could be the smart mirror. It could be, again, something that's, you know, an app on your phone. It could be Olay Skin Advisor that turns into that, mm-hmm. You know, linking in other information for people that are wearing trackers. How can you bring all of this together? You know, there's so much information already. Mm-hmm. So how do you bring it together and turn it into something that's useful for people?
Very yeah. cool.
Well, thank you so much for your time.
Yeah.
I feel like thanks I'm going to go home and put on more SPF.
Yes, exactly.
Know, I always get inspired to comply when we have these discussions and, yes. you know, and spread the word about compliance.
Thank you so much.
Thank
it was
you.
Great speaking to you.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for tuning in. Visit breakingbeauty.ca to sign up for our newsletter, and every episode will be delivered direct to your inbox so you won't miss a single thing.
And be sure to subscribe to us. There's Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, and SoundCloud, wherever you get your podcast fix.
And if you're up for it, show your love by writing a review in iTunes.